If you grew up in an African home, this is something you can relate to. At least once in your growing up experience, this happened to you, where your dad or your mom will call you and say, go to the room. In the left drawer, bring my red pen or something like that. And you went there, you checked, and you came back and said, Daddy, I did not see it. And he says, go and check very well. It is there. And you went and checked, and you did not see it. Or let me give you one that is more relatable. Your mom said, go and check my bag. I was waiting for that response because that's something we dread. You see that bag? It's like the bottomless pit. You can put 3 planets in there. And when you're checking, you just put things aside. Microwave, oven, you know. Yes. And they will ask you to bring something as small as Rob. You know that small Rob? Oh, Jesus. When that thing is missing, hey, my God. So you check. Mommy, I didn't see it. Go and check very well. It's there. Then when you still don't see it, you now hear something like, if I go and check, if I go and check myself, and I see that thing, you will be in trouble. And then with confidence, you'll be like, go and check. It's not there. The moment she dips her hand once like this. The reason I'm saying this is when it comes to the gospel, many times a lot of atheists and agnostics make excuses for the first Adam. If God knew that Adam will eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then why did he put Adam in the garden? And what kind of parent will actually put his son in a garden that has a serpent? Before I talk about how invalid that argument is, bear in mind that what you were complaining about, God said, okay, you don't want to do it, I'll do it myself. And he came in the person of Jesus and did it. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? That's very important. You see, but coming back to this text, why then did God allow Adam to be in a garden that had a serpent? Or in a garden that had the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And if God is all-knowing, and he is, why then did he still allow Adam go through that test? I want to start with that. First and foremost, this is very important. Someone is going to ask you one day. There is a difference between what God knows and what God wills. This is very important, as simple as that is. There is a difference between what God knows and what God wills. Did God know that Adam will eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Yes, he did. Was it his will that Adam would eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? No, it wasn't. So why did God allow it then? It was because for man to become the man that God had destined for him to be, it will not happen without tests. Let me illustrate it this way. Just imagine that a powerful warrior in ancient times had conquered several territories, won many battles, and now he's old. He wants a successor. And he has a son. He wants his son to be a warrior, but he also loves the son. Guess what? Your son cannot be a warrior except he fights. Come on, are you listening to me? So how are you going to create man and give him dominion if there is nothing to dominate? Are you getting what I'm saying? And the reason many of us never thought about this is because we always interpreted the dominion of man only in natural terms, that he was in charge of the garden and of the natural animals, and that's where you are missing it. Part of spiritual dominion is self-control. Let me say something to you, and a lot of people don't realize this. Man had both natural dominion and spiritual dominion. In fact, when God said, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, he meant that both in a natural sense and in a spiritual metaphorical sense. And that's why later in the Bible, you now start seeing serpents being a spiritual metaphor of spirit entities. Let's look at a text you know very well. We know Psalm 91. We grew up quoting it for protection in family devotion. Look at verse 13. Psalm 91 verse 13. It says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Did he mean it literally? These were metaphors of spirit entities. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. So listen, when you come to Luke 10:19, and Jesus said, I give you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. Now, he now gives a more literal explanation, and over all the ability of the enemy. He wasn't talking about natural animals. He says, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. He was drawing a lesson from God's will for mankind in the Old Testament. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? So part of the dominion of man was to be able to do the will of God in a garden, in spite and despite the presence of the serpents. Why should God have to take the serpent out for you to exist? Are you getting what I'm saying? If God created man to be like him and to rule like him, and God is absolutely unbothered about the existence of the devil, there is nothing the devil can do to God. Well, why should you be bothered? The reason why you look at the serpent the way you look at it is because man fell. God created us to be above and above only. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the man that God envisioned was a man that will live in the garden, and it will not be a factor that the serpent is there. And just in case you don't understand that, well, the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came and did everything and crushed the serpent on the head, which is the dominion that humanity is supposed to exercise. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are, part of growing in the will of God is self-control. Part of dominion is not just the things you do, it's the things you don't do. It is not just planting and tending a garden, it is knowing which tree should never be touched. Understand this. God puts man in the garden with all those circumstances so that he can learn self-control. And if you don't understand this, understand from the text we just read in Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 8. Though he was a son, talking about the incarnate son of God. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Some things will not come by impartation. Some things will not come by natural, spiritual gift and advantage. It will come by learning. God wanted Adam to learn. There are some things that you will only understand by experience. It's Mother's Day, so this is a very fitting example. If a woman who has been pregnant and has given birth is trying to explain to you what's the pain and the experience felt like, now she explains it, especially for someone that read biology in school, you say, I understand it. No, you don't. If you haven't experienced it, you have not experienced it. You have not experienced it. Women in the house, is that true? If you have not experienced it, if you have not experienced it, you have not experienced it. You can't learn dominion theoretically. You can't teach your son how to walk theoretically. He's going to have to put his leg on the ground, fall a few times, and stand up. So what if there was a serpent in the garden? When God knows that the capacity he has put in you is potentially greater than any opposition that the serpent can muster, it's now incumbent on you to embrace your identity in him and stand the way he has destined for you to stand. Come on, are you listening to me? What is love without trials? What is dominion without things to dominate? What is greatness without self-control? That's not the type of man God wanted to create. And that's why every one of us must go through the school of obedience. If you have not gone through that school, you are not yet a man of God. You are not yet a woman of God. You don't know God if you have not gone through that school. He was a son, yet he learned obedience. Please say that with me. Say, he learned obedience. It means it can be learned by experience, by exercise, by practice. I wonder if there's anything in your life regarding character that you got better at, that you can look at yourself and say, I used to be an angry kid 10 years ago, but I've learned in this regard. I used to be a fighter, very impatient. Have you been in situations and you know, if it was 5 years ago, this same situation would have gone differently? That's one of the ways to know that you are indeed growing. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Brothers and sisters, character is trained, not gifted. Please repeat that if you heard me. One, two, go. It is developed, not downloaded. It is developed. Deliberately developed. Consciously developed. And not downloaded. Look at that text again. There's something I want to point out there. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. Everybody read the first five words. One, two, go. Though he was... You know, listen. You see that though he was a son? That is the totality of many people's Christian consciousness. They hinge their Christianity on, you know, it's a Christocentric idea, a very powerful idea, very important idea. We teach it in this church. But that's where their walk with God starts and ends. I'm a son. Identity. I know who I am. I know whose I am. I am a child of God and all of that. He didn't stop there. He learned obedience. I know this is your identity, your spiritual identity. But you have to learn obedience. Exercise yourself in obedience. Are you getting what I'm saying here, please? With your charisma, there must be character. That, though he was a son, was the bedrock of all the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. If you are the son of God, turn stone to bread. If you are the son of God, do this. Jump from the pinnacle of the temple. Bow down and worship me. And all of that, because listen to me. Even if the devil knows your identity, he still wants to test your character. Listen, what I'm saying is the reason why many people are still struggling. You've been in church all your life and you don't get this. And one thing to know about the devil is this. He's not fazed by your identity. Listen, in pure spiritual warfare, that's important. But as long as you lack character, he feels he can still get you. Don't you understand how important this is? That, listen, God took on flesh, dwelt amongst us. And the devil was not fazed by that. He's still like, well, as long as you have flesh, I must still test this character. That he can take Jesus and tempt him. That's how much he believes in the infrastructure of weakness. In what the flesh can tempt you to do and to become. If he can tempt Jesus, I suspect he can tempt you. I suspect. I mean, the audacity. You know, that's what he was saying with Job. Yes, you've blessed him. Allow me to test him now. You're bragging. You have blessed him. Allow me to... One thing about the devil, no matter who you are, he just wants to see. He just wants to see. If I poke hard, how will you respond? If he has a billion or lacks a billion, how will he respond? If he gets married or doesn't get married, either the abundance of it or the lack of it, I just want to see. Even if you are the son of God, if you are the son of God, turn stone to bread. In fact, that's the basis of the temptation. In fact, the identity should be your temptation to misbehave. And this, I suggest, with very, very, what language can I use? I want to be sensitive about this. But there is a way you teach identity that the devil will use it to tempt you to cast off virtuous restraints. You are the son of God and jump from the pinnacle of the temple. And it will still sound like the grace message. Though he was a son, he learned obedience. Listen, by the way, I have established when it comes to identity, it is by grace through faith. That's established. We are talking discipleship here. Discipleship. You can be heaven bound and nobody likes you. You can be heaven bound and nobody can do business with you. No one wants to get married to you. Let me tell you something. And it's something, because we have a culture that doesn't do well with honest feedback. There are some things, tell me the truth. Have you seen somebody that you know might not get married? With the way they act. And you can't tell the person, but you know in your heart, this one, nobody will marry this one. And now such a person is coming to church, praying to God. It's as if the power of God is not working. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he saw. You have not learned obedience. Come on, are you listening to me? The devil is not bothered by your tongue speaking abilities, about how charismatic you are. The devil really believed he could get the Son of God to fall. That should scare you. Like the Word made flesh. Thou shalt not became flesh. You don't understand what I'm saying. And you still feel, well, you are the Word, but now you are flesh. I can still try. I can still try. So this is something to take very seriously. I know you are the incarnate Son of God. Well, let's just see. And because this curriculum is missing, that's why we have raised many Samsons and not many Josephs. Many people are a flash in the pan. Just rain for a season and fall. Have you seen brilliant people? They had to excuse from work. Not because they were not great at the job, but because of other things. Just lack of character. It's lack of character. I have a proposition. What if we change the lens with which we rated ourselves? What if we rated ourselves the way 1 Corinthians 13 rated people? When it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, if I have not love, I am not it. What if you began to rate yourself based on character development, not on gift? Are you getting what I'm saying? If he says, I am nothing without love, maybe that's a good place to start. I'm very gifted, but what about my character development? You know, check very well. Look at 1 Timothy 3 and look at all the requirements for those who desire the office of a bishop, of a deacon, and all of that. 9 out of 10 things he mentioned were character, not charisma. 9 out of 10 things. He must be blameless, husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable. Have you seen many people who even use their spirituality as an excuse for rudeness? He must be hospitable. Please, thank you, hello, goodbye. Simple things. Some people are too deep to learn it. He must be hospitable. In this verse, how many things pertain to character and to charisma? Just one. Able to teach. Just one. Every other thing, behavior. Listen to me. This doesn't just apply to ministry. It applies to whatever sphere of influence that the Lord is training you for. If you don't have the character, you can't sustain success. Even if you attain the success, you are a flash in the pan. You will disappear. It won't take time. In fact, success is a trap for people who lack character. Anybody you want to destroy, if you discover that they don't have character, give them success. That's part of what Paul said here. He says, don't ordain a novice lest he be lifted up with pride. Character, wisdom. For a job like pastoring, because people honor the grace on their life, on your life, they will sit under your teaching. Some of them old enough to be your parents times two. It takes wisdom. It takes character. It takes understanding spiritual context and natural context. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, a friend of mine was telling me. Fresh graduate from school, he had touched power. He felt like the Lord was using him, so he just went home. Said, told his mom, kneel down, I want to impart you. And you know, there are phrases. there are phrases that justify these things. Oil flows downward, not upward. You know. It's a real thing. If the devil could tempt Jesus, he would tempt you.
go through that test, I can give you different contexts in the business world. As a student, you know, in all of these things, I remember, because I took my work with God seriously on campus. And of course, automatically, some things, I'd always been a good boy. I've never brought in expo to an exam hall in my life, even when I was in the world. Never. Well, I don't ask what's number two. That's just, I go lie for you. You know? Yeah, now. Even sign symbol, we don't do. A, B, C, you know now, you know now. But I remember the first tough exam that I was faced with, filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm looking at this thing. There was opportunity to ask. I read, but I had forgotten this formula. If I don't ask, I might fail this thing. And I said, no. I said, no, I will never forget. I said, no. This is my new life now. I'm not going to cheat. How I passed that course till now, I don't know how God did it. I don't know. The reason I'm trying to take my time with this is because some of these things are easier said than done. You will be tested. You will be tested. Listen, and God allows it. It was the Spirit that led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He led him there. It was part of it. And that's akin to God knowing that there's a serpent in the garden and allowing the process. Because that's how you grow. It doesn't matter how what I'm preaching you blesses you today. It is when you go out there that it will matter. That's how I will know if you really learned or not. It can be on your way back. On your way back, last man stops you. Before they even, just go to me. How far now, bro? Then you are the same one praying for this country to be better. You know, I went to preach in one of the states in this country. And one of the people working close to the governor, the person in charge of all of the contract allocation in that state, he follows our ministry, so he asked to see me in the hotel. Now, so I was laughing. I said, how is your work? He said, by the grace of God, I've kept integrity, but it's hard. Even church people are expecting me to have more money than my salary allocation. Because ask yourself, if you hear that one of your friends is in top governance, won't you start billing him? The question is, where do you expect the money to come from? Answer me. No, these are real issues. You cannot, many of the people who are angry at the state of the country are just angry that they're not part of the corruption. He said, church people were telling him, you can't go there and come out poor. So what are you suggesting? He said, it is church people pressuring him, expecting him to award contracts on relationships, not on merits. Are these not things we do? And when they give it to you, even if you don't qualify for it, you call it favor.
Today go hot, Jesus. Matakabaya.
That's what we do. It is one thing to position yourself as someone who is competent, you have what to offer, but you even guilt trip people who are in high offices. If they tell you, I can't, I'll put in a good word for you, apply, but I can't promise you. You say, that's the thing about these people. They know they like helping. They know they like helping. These are the things we say. Is it not true? You go about telling people, maligning his character. He's a wicked man. He doesn't want to help. These are things church people do. Though I speak
speak with tongues of men and of angels. If I have not love, I am nothing. Though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith that I could remove mountains, if I do not love, I am nothing. So you can hold a spiritual program, but you can't keep a relationship. Now, Bible, see, now Bible, though. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, you know, I discovered something. Everything that we call sin are but tributaries of one cardinal sin, the sin of lack of self-control. Every single thing. Sin is selfishness. If you lack self-control, it will show up in different ways. So, both negative and positive. If you lack self-control when it comes to appreciation of your resources, it's greed. If you lack self-control when it comes to eating, it is gluttony. If you lack self-control, I can go on and on. All sins are an expression of lack of self-control. Lack of self-control. You don't know what to say no to. Lack of self-control. You have a birthright, but you will throw it all away for one night of porridge. Porridge. I wish I could hear angels talk about us sometimes. But I was casting out the demon from someone in 2011. You know, and the guy was on the floor. You know, his strange voice was talking to him. He just looked up and shouted, "Why do you even love these people? Why do you... We annoy them. They don't understand grace. As far as they're concerned, we don't deserve it." Are you following this at all? I will title this sermon, Learning to Obey. Learning to Obey. It will take discipline, consistency. To take discipline and consistency. So like I said, if you don't know self-control, you don't know anything about discipline, anything. A person who lacks self-control. In fact, let me say this. If you are struggling with a habit, understand this. It's a symptom of a greater problem. Are you listening to me? So the same way the fruit of the Spirit is, it is one fruit expressed in different tributaries. The same way the fruit of the flesh, it's one fruit of the flesh. So the reason why you cannot overcome masturbation and pornography is the same reason in a different way. When you know you ought to pray, you don't pray. When you know you ought to study your Bible, you don't study your Bible. When you know you ought to read your books, you don't read your book. You have trained your flesh to do what it likes. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm saying the major problem for most people is self-control in general. It just shows up, and many times we treat the symptoms. We don't go to the root of the matter. So this is what the Bible says about self-control. Look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. What does it say? Everybody read together, 1, 2, go. No self-control. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. You are vulnerable. You are open to attacks. Whatever treasure you have is not secure. Whatever success you have amassed can be lost in an instant. Without self-control, no success in your life will last. You are a city without walls. So self-control governs some key things like anger. Some key aspects of self-control you must master. Don't forget, the title again is Learning to Obey. Anger. Listen, you're a child of God.
child of God.
But even the devil is afraid of your temper. I've seen things. When you're angry, somebody will just get angry, carry a bad eater. You know what I want you to do? If you can do this without everybody, mind your business. This is between you and God. Whatever it is you need to work on personally when it comes to character, please write it down somewhere. For you, it might be jealousy. You can't tell anybody this, but you know, you just struggle so hard. And see, if the Lord can show on the screen the things that go on in your heart, people will run away from you. And I'm not saying this to judge you, but you know you can work on it. There are things you can exercise. You can exercise. So when you feel jealous, what do you do? When you feel angry, what do you do? When you feel insecure, what do you do? Do you know simple things like not knowing how to take feedback can be the reason why your marriage will break? Are you listening to me? I've counseled many people. If you are with a spouse who thinks she cannot talk to you or he cannot talk to you, just simple feedback. I don't like the way you treat me in this way. Every time they want to bring that up, you deflect, you counter-argue, you do all those things. The person 10 years in still doesn't feel heard. Even Jesus will ask people, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Even Jesus can get feedback. Who you be, self? This is how you make me feel. They can't tell you that. It's a problem. You go need work on ammo. You will work on that thing. Please, are you listening to me? Learning to obey. Sometimes we never deliberately work on the aspects we need to work on. Anger, lust, even spending, impulse spending. It's a lack of self-control. They will just hype you to buy something you don't need. You will never use. You are in the North Pole and they sold you ice. Ice. They sold you snow. Or maybe it's your speech. You know, a friend of mine said something recently and it's very true. There is something that is very typical of this generation, quite typical. When you want to find people who don't have the discipline to go through the mental rigors, just pay attention, no, I'm fine, I think. Even anyway, steeze and composure. All right. People who are intellectually lazy cannot bring forth strong arguments. They just turn into insults. They just turn into insults. Because they cannot go through the mental rigor of bringing their strong arguments and to just let you know in an articulate manner why they disagree with you. So any small insults, and you're wondering what led to this. This is what I think, and if I'm wrong, prove me wrong. And the funny thing is, you won't grow even intellectually that way. So, is it your speech? If you still think that your tweets don't have consequences in 2026, then the devil has done a number on you. Paul said, I discipline my body. Bring it under subjection. That's part of the exercise. So you take yourself, when you find yourself in situations where there are things you will naturally do that are inconsistent with God's design or the precepts of God's word, you bring yourself under. Situations where normally now 1-2 straight, it's supposed to be on sight,
you bring yourself under. Sometimes it's hard, though, to keep yourself like that. It will take a lot. It will take a lot. Learning to obey. Can you all say learning to obey? I'm going to end with this. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. It's a text that I've been reading to you almost throughout this year. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So listen, identity was already settled. That was already settled. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in likeness of men. Now listen to me, this is what I want to point out to you. In the entire redemption of Christ, do you realize it was more of character than charisma? Throughout, it was only after 3 days that charisma took over. The character of being arrested, knowing that at any point you can free yourself, knowing at any point you can change your mind, that there are several angels ready to step in. Are you listening to me? So you were, see, the Bible prophesied it. Isaiah prophesied it. He says, like the sheep before the shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Do you know what it means to subject yourself? Listen, it means one of the biggest lessons to learn from Jesus is power under control. That there are some things you can do and you will not do just so that the bigger picture of God's plan for your life can be fulfilled. Peter, preaching about this, said when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. It means part of learning to obey is sometimes learning to take insults. You will just look away. If you don't learn this, many of you don't realize the reason why God has not trusted you with some levels of greatness is because you've not learned this. He can't trust you. You will deal with people. In a country like this, where everybody wants us to know who they are, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Please, are you listening to me? So when he was arrested, character, not charisma. When he was beaten and he did not respond, character, not charisma. When he was stripped naked, character, not charisma. When he was nailed to the cross, character, not charisma. When he was hoisted, character, not charisma. When he died, character, not charisma. So the way Paul preached it to the church at Philippi was that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also. Are you getting what I'm saying? So these two things must be present in your devotion, not just charisma, which we like to focus on in the charismatic church, but character. And it says, let this mind, not this power, not this grace. He's teaching you discipline, character development. You know, some of you who have been following my ministry already know this story. I think it was sometime in 2012, thereabout, I was in Body Thomas, Surulere. And a taxi just stopped. I needed to enter a taxi. And the taxi had other customers. And they had only driven for a while. Next thing, the driver just stopped and challenged the other passenger. And said, what did you put in my boot? What did you put in my boot? Honestly, at that time, I had not heard of any such thing. And she's behind to say, I'm sorry, it's dollars. My boss is very rich. And he got sick. He was about to die. I decided to help myself. So I was so confused. I was just like, driver, really? You parked this car to be discussing with another passenger? Do you think I have time for this? I shouted. I said, are you moving or not? So he looked at me surprised. He said, dollars. There's dollars in the boot. I said, are you going or not? And he said, he's not going. So I came down. I did not know it was a testimony. It was several days after I was talking to my mom, and I said, can you imagine one driver, you know, he just stopped. I was asking somebody. My mom said, one chance, you know. So I said, one chance, what's that? So that was when she explained to me, let me tell you something. I have discovered most con people require you to be a con person yourself for them to dupe you. They told you they will sell you iPhone 17, 600,000. Are you not, you are a thief. You are a thief. You wanted to buy land in Banana Island, 1.5 million. You, my brother, are a thief. Usually, you have to have some measure of greed to fall for those things. See, let me tell you something. It was not even spiritual discipline. I don't know how the Lord raised me. I have no desire for what is not mine. And that's part of what I'm saying. Absolutely no desire for what is not mine. See, let me tell you something. If you like, have 10 billion, 100 billion dollars, I'm happy for you, but I'm good. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I have always been like that. Always. Always. You know why I'm telling you this? If you cannot do without it, you are a target for Satan. Are you listening to me? You must be able to walk away from it. Otherwise, you are not disciplined. If you cannot walk away from it, if you cannot say no, the devil can still get you. If you will be rich at any cost, you will sell your soul. If you will be famous at any cost, you will sell your soul. You know, there's one of us, a chorister in this church. He wanted to join a record label. You know, I had advised him. This was a long time ago, 2014. Calm down. I don't think the way you're going about this thing is right. He didn't listen. So now, they gave him a contract to sign. In the contract, he was saying strange things. First and foremost, you will move into the house that this music label house has. In this house, you cannot wear white. In this house, you cannot eat beans. In this please, what does this have to do with voice? I don't know. What does this have to do with voice? What does this have to do with singing?